Unit 5. Listening. Part 3. You'll hear an interview in which two people called Sarah and Peter, who work in Air and Sea Rescue, are talking about their work. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer A, B, C or D, which fits best according to what you hear.
Welcome. Today we're looking at careers in some of the more risky professions. My guests are Sarah Jessops and Peter Cavalli. They both work in an air and sea rescue team. Peter, let me ask you first, what made you want to do this job?
I actually started training as a doctor, but I'm a very outdoors kind of person and I got this chance to learn to be a helicopter pilot. I've been able to use my medical skills, but that doesn't really give me an advantage. We all get excellent training in the practical and medical stuff, but what is emphasised over and over again is cooperation with the rest of the crew.
Yeah, it all has to work like clockwork with everyone respecting each other. So if anyone thinks they know more than the rest or wants to give out instructions, the whole operation falls apart. And if you feel stressed, as we all do sometimes because we don't know what we're going into, we have to hide it, or it might put the others off.
So how does a typical rescue begin?
Well, there isn't really a typical rescue, but they all start with a call to the office and we have just 15 minutes to check out our route and equipment to make sure we're ready for any eventuality. We're well prepared for whatever we might find out there, but our real enemy is the climatic conditions. That's what affects how straightforward a rescue will be, as a storm can change drastically from when the call comes through to when we get there. Most rescues take place within 20 miles of the shore, so our journey time isn't usually too long. But we did a rescue last week, which was much further out in the North Sea and much harder to locate.
Yes, it was quite a large boat with 6 people on board, and they'd crossed from England to Holland in fine weather. When they were ready to come back, the forecast said the wind was going to change direction and a storm would develop, but conditions would only change slowly. So they were well aware of that, but set off with the sea as calm as a pond. They reckoned they'd get back with time to spare, but they hadn't thought it through properly. They'd foolishly based their timing on the outward journey, and, with the more challenging conditions which developed, they got into trouble halfway back.
It must be hard flying the helicopter in a storm like that.
We're used to it. One reason why helicopters are used in sea rescues is that, unlike planes, which have to circle round and round, they can hover above the scene, hardly moving. That's why they're also suited to rescues inland or from rocky cliff faces, when any other form of transport would be very tricky. You've probably noticed the noise a helicopter makes, though. And when we're trying to rescue someone, however much we shout, they often can't hear us, and the helicopter increases the wind chill factor too. We're all right as we're prepared, but those in the water under us can get even colder than they already are.
What about the people you're rescuing? Do they always do what you ask?
Mostly. They're usually so pleased to see us that they follow instructions even if what we're asking them to do looks quite scary. In fact, they calm down when we get there, as we're in charge and they don't have to worry anymore. But some people then forget about the danger they're in and start trying to save all their possessions. They try to carry far too much with them instead of concentrating on saving themselves. That's crazy, as it puts us all at risk, even though they don't realise it.
So, will you both carry on in this job?
I can't imagine giving it up.
Well, I think I've gone as far as I can. There isn't anywhere else to go, apart from an office job. So I'm going to move inland and broaden my experience by joining a mountain rescue team. It's just as challenging, and what I've learnt from sea rescues is very relevant there. And I've been taking lots of extra courses, so I might become a trainer one day, but that's not on the cards just yet.